Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Tuesday, talking USC Trojan football with Coach Harvey Hyde. He's been covering the Trojans, analyzing the Trojans for many, many years. And been here with on the podcast for 10 years, which is crazy. If you have any questions or comments for us, we're keeping it rolling through the offseason, heading into the summer workouts, graduation, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, fall camp. Podcast at USCFootball.com. That is our email address. Or if you would like to call and leave a voicemail or send us a text, we've been getting a bunch of those. The number is 424-254-9141. Please subscribe on iTunes. We have our own URL there, itunes.com/peristylepodcast. Leave us a positive review. Leave us a five-star rating. We love all that kind of stuff. And you can find the Peristyle Podcast anywhere podcasts are found. If you found somewhere, you're listening to a podcast app and we're not on there, just let me know. We'll make sure we get there. But we're pretty much everywhere. We've been doing this, like I said, for 10 years. Keep it rolling along. Should be a very interesting 2018 season. We got a few months to talk about getting ready for that with the coach, Harvey Hyde. What is up, coach? How are you doing?
Well, it's game day. Every day is game day, so here we go again. At the end of the day, you always look and say, did we get better? Or did we accomplish our goals? Or did we win or lose today? So here we go, Ryan.
I don't know. Hopefully we got a winner day today, Coach. I'm ready. I'm ready for a good day. Before we jump in, and I got an interesting topic for you today, some questions, and one of the questions leading to what the main theme of today's show is going to be. I wanted to thank our sponsor, Southern California Tickets. You want to go, maybe you want to go out to Vegas and see the Vegas Golden Knights, who are just crushing it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. My Penguins lost, unfortunately, but you know, we won two cups in a row, so I was pretty happy about that. But go to sctickets.com if you need tickets for anything. It doesn't have to be sports. It could be a concert. It could be a play. Or give them a call at 1-800-888-7287. They've been helping us for about 10 years now. And if you'd like to go check something out, you want to go see some baseball. Lots of baseball going across the country, getting down to the nitty-gritty in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The NBA playoffs will take a little bit longer. No LA teams in any of those, but they've got some baseball here locally. Go to sctickets.com, and they will help you out.
Thank you very much. And by the way, the Golden Knights, I spend a lot of time in Vegas. Can you believe they have sold out next season already?
Really?
Yep, and they raised the prices even. And people didn't even care.
No.
Can't get a ticket. The average price of a ticket now there is $328 a ticket.
Wow. For the first year. I mean, they have a really good chance to win the Cup. And I'm not an expert in how the expansion draft went. I see a lot of criticism, and it seems like, you know, maybe they gave them a little too much. It seems like it worked out well. Not that the Vegas Golden Knights general, manager and everyone made great decisions, but it seemed like it was set up, where it was going to be a little bit better for them. Obviously, it's worked out really well. They have a great chance to win the Cup the way they're playing right now. But Vegas just proves to me, Coach, it's a really good sports city. I mean, when the Raiders get there, that's going to be popular. How they've embraced the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, they're so much fun watching sports in Vegas, but you're usually watching other teams, except, back in your day when UNLV was big. But now having a professional team there and another one coming, it just seems like this is a town that's been ready for something like this for quite a while.
I really agree with you. I tell you, it sort of reminds me, of the Tarkanian era when the Golden Knights were UNLV. I mean, that's the way it was. I mean, all the bank tellers, everybody wore a Rebel jersey on the day of the game, no matter where you were. And, the whole city is on whether you win or lose and everything you do there. So if you're going to win in Vegas, people know that if you're a winner, they're going to come and support you. And that's exactly what's happened there. In their first year, it's just taken over Las Vegas, overwhelmed them, a beautiful arena, a beautiful opening and closing and all the things they have, the lighting and music and who sings the Star Spangled Banner. It's unbelievable. So if that's Las Vegas, but if you don't win in Las Vegas and you're a team, Just put open one gate.
That's LA-ish like, where LA is a, you know, kind of a front-running city. If you're not winning, people aren't really going to show up for the sake. But, the, you know, the first year, even if the Golden Knights were terrible, I think people would have showed up. But now they're really good, and they're paying record ticket prices, like you were saying.
Yes, it is. It's great. They're really on a roll there. It's an event now. It's not a game in Vegas. It's who gets a ticket and who's seen at the game, and where do you sit, and how did you get those tickets?
And USC football used to be an event like that, too. You know, the Pete Carroll era, there's other eras, too. Celebrities and everyone just and I think a lot of the USC fans are really jonesing to get back to days like that, Coach. And so I think that's where some of the critical questions we've received come in, where they just want to see whatever it takes to get back to that, where it's really a special thing to go to the Coliseum and see it full and all that kind of stuff. So this is an interesting topic, and Tarik always gives us very succinct and really thoughtful questions. And his question today was, what should USC's identity be this year? And I thought that was interesting, and I thought we could talk about this for a little while, because on the show that I did on Sunday with Dan Weber, and like I said, we've kind of mixed it up a little bit, because if you're following USCfootball.com, the Todd McNair versus NCAA defamation lawsuit has been going on. Today's Tuesday, day 15 of the trial. It should go the rest of the week, and I don't think they'll have a verdict until Monday. At least that's kind of what the schedule is right now. And I actually just put up like a Todd McNair trial central page where we're at every single trial, every day of the trial, notes from every day, videos from every day, videos of the depositions, all that kind of stuff. So we have all that content up on USCfootball.com. You can go check that out. But part of the show, Coach, when I was talking with Dan at the end about USC's identity, we had a question about the quarterbacks, and it really shouldn't matter that much, essentially, because this is going to be a run-first team and a defensive-led team. And my kind of – and you know, we can get into this a little bit, but my thought on that was – that's not what USC's identity has really been. It hasn't been in their DNA. And I get with, you know, you have a quarterback that's inexperienced, you might want to go that way. But even, you know, 2 years ago when Sam Darnold was inexperienced, they still asked him to do a lot. To me, Coach, this USC team's, they're going to ask a lot of the quarterback. And if the quarterback's not that good, the team's probably not going to be that good. I wanted to get your thoughts first on the original question, and then we can kind of get into the could it be in USC's DNA to be a run-first, defensive-led team that's not led by the quarterback, which we've normally seen? But it's a lot to take in there, Coach, but give me your thoughts, and we'll kind of go back and forth a little bit.
Well, Ryan, I agree with you. It's really hadn't been in their DNA. As you said, they've spoken about running the football, but it's been pass the ball, and the run comes off of the pass. I really believe that. That's been the philosophy there. Really, since Pete Carroll left, they had a two-back offense more at that time, and they decided they wanted to pound it. They could pound the rock with great running backs and play-action pass and then throw the ball very well, too. But they sort of got to more of the fancy type of look and not the hammer look and not the hurt-you look, as everybody else was doing, and they thought they had to be like everybody else. And you don't have to be like everybody else. You can be – I've always said this on this – podcasts, everyone, you want everybody to be like you are. And they certainly are the type of program that can do what they want to do if they form that philosophy to do that. So again, it comes back to the question is, who are they going to be? What is their identity going to be? Can you believe what they're saying they're going to do? Because they've obviously been saying this and they haven't done it as we expect it to be as far as the running type of football team that USC has been. So you assume that if they say we're going to run the ball first, as they've been saying, that they're going to do that, but you got to wait and see. It's sort of a wait-and-see attitude on just how much they do that. You know, you got to remember, too, when you look at USC's quarterbacks, they've selected their quarterbacks. They've recruited the quarterbacks that are there, the two that are there now, and JT Daniels, who's coming in. So they've tried to select the best quarterbacks that fit what they do. So you can't blame the kids. You got to say to the kids, hey, you were offered this scholarship, so obviously somebody thought you were pretty good. So, you know, you can't just back off and say these kids can't play because they've selected them as all Gatorade players of the year and everything else to be able to come into USC and play. They've walked from other quarterbacks who have gone other places. So you've got to give some type of thought of, you know, yeah, they're not Sam Darnold, and that's what everybody's trying to compare these kids to, and you can't compare them to that. So you got to be able to put them in a position where they can be successful. You can't say we're not going to throw the football, but you've got to be able to throw the football. But you've got to put them in a position, too, where they can be successful in throwing the football. And that normally starts with an outstanding running game and the respect of your running game, and then play action pass and come along then with other routes and stretch the defense with counters and different type of things to keep the defense honest, where you can be in charge of what you're trying to do on the offensive side of the football. You're not forced to do other things because what they're doing and they're taking away your game. So I think this is what you got to watch and see exactly what happens. And, you know, you see people practice certain things, but then when the game comes, you don't see basically the same thing that the people were talking about. So we'll have to wait and see. But I know they better make a decision quickly and decide who they are and what their identity is. Is it what we just mentioned, and you mentioned it, and I mentioned it before, win with defense and special teams, and don't put your offense in a very, difficult situation. You can't get behind in games because then you put you force your quarterback more to have to throw the football and make plays. You want to be in every football game. You want to be close in your football games. You got to really be good that way. And if you do that, you got a chance because you've got, you know, Stanford and Texas early. And if you can get by those teams, which is going to be difficult to do, then, you know, and UNLV is not a gimme because you read it and see it every Saturday that anybody can beat anybody. So you can't look past anybody and you can't say who you're going to be and then don't be it. You got to be who you say you are on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, Coach. And I think part of the issue, and maybe this is where some of the critics of people that are very critical of the program and Clay Helton and some of the coaches is when he did come in and talk about, being like a power run sort of team. And then they haven't really seen that. Like there was talk and then there was really what was out on the field. And I think this is a really important year because a lot of the critics are saying that the only reason that this USC team had success is because of what Sam Darnold did. And now you're looking at, okay, well, if you want to be a run-first team, if you want to be a team that's kind of focused more on the defensive side of the football, that's certainly not what they've done in the past. I think some of the critics want to see, okay, this is where real coaching is going to come in. Can you do that? Can you not have a superstar quarterback and still have a successful team? USC usually has more talent than everyone they play. And, you know, what we've seen in the spring, we didn't really see a superstar quarterback. Not that they can't be, but we really didn't see that. I'm really curious, though, JT Daniels could be that guy. You know, who knows? Like, maybe he steps in, and then the critics are like, he got another superstar quarterback. So maybe that's the key. I don't know. But that's where, like you're talking about, Coach, a lot of the fans that have been critical, they say that these coaches are just basically relying on the players all the time. And I think that's where they've kind of have issues with the way this offense is run and don't believe they could switch focus to being a run first team or being a team that relies on defense.
Well, you know, I can see why they say that because of what we're talking about. You know, the entire coaching staff, more or less, except for the new coach who just came in from Michigan, Drevno. Is that the way you pronounce it?
With Drevno?
Yeah. Drevno, yeah.
Tim Drevno, well, you
know,
yeah.
Yeah, they really haven't, they don't know anything else. I mean, this is what they've come up under as far as a player and a coach. So, you know, you've got to know what it's all about and how to teach it and how to put it together. So this is something that you're going to have to, you know, you do and believe in. You just can't do it just like over at UCLA 2 years ago when they thought they were going to go to a power running game and they had the worst average per carry in the Pac-12. And, of course, then they went and fired Polamalu. I mean, you know, you gotta go. You gotta go the whole route. You can't just talk about it. You gotta believe in it. The team's gotta be understanding what the thing is all about, and you gotta do it. Now, in the spring and practice, I saw the same offense, and tell me if I'm wrong, I saw the same exact offense as I've seen the last 3 or 4 years. There wasn't anything changed. Once in a while, they'd run one play, or they'd do this, or they'd do that to keep us off their backs, or whatever. But I didn't see anything really different. It's the same basic offense as they've been doing the last several years. So, we'll see what happens. And sometimes I think they do too much, because when you do too much, you don't do anything well. So I think that you've got to pick the plays and the series and what you want to accomplish that fits your personnel, and then do that really good rather than just have so much you don't do anything really good.
No, that makes sense. You mentioned, too, the Pete Carroll era about, you know, going back in two-back offenses. That's something that comes up quite a bit. I think you can change the way the offense, the focus of the offense, but the way it's set up, the formations, I don't think that's going to change all that much. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a lot of two-back offenses. That's not something that's been part of their core, competency. So that's not something I'd see Clay Helton and T. Martin really doing. That would be a pretty big change if they did something like that. But even for the Pete Carroll years, Coach, you had Reggie Bush and Lendell White, and you had a bunch of great running backs. And, he always recruited amazing running backs. And it was a team that, could run the ball, certainly when they needed to. But it still seemed to me, Coach, like it was a team that you're always, every one of those quarterbacks got drafted. It was a quarterback kind of driven thing. Even though you had amazing players all around you, it wasn't one where you look at like LSU or something where the quarterback's like a liability. Like, I just haven't seen a USC team that was going to be able to succeed. It seems like that just would be so different that it's not going to be quarterback focused. I'm just not sure this is a program that could pull that off, because it's just not the way they've done it.
No, you're exactly right. It used to be called tailback U, and then it sort of got away from that. And they're like everybody else as far as throwing the football. There's very few teams now that really what they say, and of course those are the teams that win every year. If you look at the old school guys, you know exactly who I'm talking about. So you've got to be able to, it comes up with your recruiting, your philosophy, your teaching on the field, your attitude on the field, your attitude as far as what you expect from your players, as far as all the different things that we have talked about. And by the way, we can talk about that too, as far as the new rules and the dress of the uniforms that you've heard me complain about the entire last 5 years we've been doing this. This is all part of what unity is. This is all part of discipline. This is all part of doing the little things correctly to make your team the pride of your team and the way you execute on and off the field and everything else. So, I want to be positive on this podcast and say USC has a personnel and the ability to win, but you want to make it easy for yourself as far as who you are and have an identity. And really, as you've been talking about, I don't know what the identity has been the last several years as far as don't talk run if you're not going to run the football. But I think it's misleading to all the fans and us who cover USC football, when you say one thing and you don't believe in it and then you don't do it or whatever the program is, but you've had great running backs and you've proven that. I mean, Ron Jones, these are great players. And you got to take advantage of when you have these type of players, and everybody's got to understand they got a role, whether you're a receiver or a running back or, like you mentioned, a two-back offense. Basically, they don't utilize two players in their offense at all, and that's the tight end and the second running back, or the quarterback who's the second running back. There's always two players that they really don't utilize, and that's the tight end and the quarterback, as far as the quarterback being the second running back, but they don't run the keep much. Now, in the spring, Matt Fink carried the ball a few times. Now, they were called plays. I don't believe they read them. I don't know. I'd have to see the film to be able to make a decision on that. But you limit yourself at times when you shouldn't eliminate yourself. You should decide this is what we're going to do, but take advantage of the players that are on the field.
The question I have for you, Coach, and just from a coaching philosophy, whatever your strategy is going to be, when you talk about something like this and it's changing the way you want to do business, if you're going to talk about this is not the way we've been, but we're going to try to be a run first team or focus on defense or whatever. If that's something that's coming out of necessity because of what you're looking at on your roster and not because that's what you truly believe, it seems like we've seen, like, for the first couple of years, it's probably what you believe in, right? Like, it's that's the way you come in. You get a dream job, and this is what you're going to come in and try to execute. If you have to change that a couple of years later because of reasons outside of that's what your core beliefs are, that would concern me a little bit. Where if it's a move out of that, you know, you're a change in philosophy because you see college football adapting, and you know, that'd be one thing. But to do it out of necessity because what you're seeing on the roster would be a little concerning to me.
No, you're exactly right. And I tell you, you know, you got to do what you believe in. I've always told my coaches who become head coaches, I said, now they hired you for a reason. Make sure you do what you believe in and continue with that. Don't be talked out of doing what you believe in and all of a sudden you don't have a job. If you make a mistake and you get fired, then make it your fault, not somebody else's. And I think that right now Clay Helton feels good about what they're doing. He feels good about their offensive coordinator, their defensive coordinator, or whatever they're doing, and he should. And, you know, you can't always say it's T. Martin's offense, it's Pendergrass's defense. Well, what is it? It's not his this or his that or John Baxter's special teams. It's Clay Helton's football team. And you hear him talking about Urban Meyer's or Nick say whose offense it is or whose defense it is. It's USC's. And this is what people and what Coach Helton has got to believe in and doing it his way. Now, we can talk about what we think, and the fans can talk about what they think, but he's got to decide what he does. This is his era. This is his opportunity to be a USC football coach. So he's got to do it his way, and, of course, we all have our opinions, and when you're ever a head football coach, this level of a university, you're going to work with this, and you're going to hear this. Because of the great tradition that is there. So, we all have our opinions, and that's all we have. But we all look at ways, too, of trying to get better, and we hope that that is what they're trying to do, too.
One last thing on this, at least for me. Was identity something that was really important to you as a football coach? And do you think that's, you know, changed over the years? Do you think that teams need to really have an identity, know who you are, how important is it? I know fans can kind of get on that quite a bit. You're not really sure what the identity of this team is, but what is your thoughts about really having an identity and how important it is?
I think it's really important. I used to say, guys, when we go out there, it's going to be a street fight. I'm going to say, you follow me down the alley, and we're going to drive them right back the other end. I mean, I just wanted them to know that we're all together. I'm going to be at the point. I'm not going to be a general that's back on the hill with my binoculars, okay? I'm going to be right there with him. If necessary, I'll kick the ass of the head football coach of the other team before the game if he gives me any lip either. I mean, you don't say this publicly. But what you do is you have an attitude of who you are. And, you know, we'll bring our lunch, you bring your lunch. It's going to be an all-day fight type of thing. And, I think attitude and confidence is just all part of playing a game or doing anything in business or anything. We're going to win at the end product. We're going to get this job, or we're going to build this building, or we're going to do, don't tell me what we're going to do until after we did it type of attitude. And I used to say, guys, it's going to be a street fight today. And, you know, I'm betting on you. So let's go out there and get it on and get the hell out of here and get back to where we're from. That's just my attitude, and I think you have to have that type of attitude. These are just kids. They got to rally around you. They got to rally around the program. They got to follow who you are and what you lead them to do, and you really make yourself a bigger player and faster player and better player when you play every play and you believe in what the cause is.
I think, to be fair to Clay Helton, I think he has a clear identity when he's speaking to the guys, the faith and football and family. And it seems like a lot of the players, you know, buy into that as far as, like, you know, being around the program and just the way Clay Helton runs things, just, you know, this natural leadership, the way he does that kind of stuff. I think what what a lot of the fans want to see is that identity being on the field too, where, so I think there's probably two different things there. I think Clay Helton does a good job, and it seems like players are on board with his, you know, identity in the locker room and all that kind of stuff. It's more about, hey, what does this team want to do? Be, you know, go out and have a street fight or whatever it is on Saturdays.
Well, I agree with you. I love Clay Helton. As an individual, he's the best, one of the best. I want my son to play for Clay Helton. I've told you this. This is the type of person that cares about people and coaches and families. He's a sincere guy. This is him. He's not a phony. He's the real deal. So I think that that he needs the additional help from within his staff to do some of the things that maybe his philosophy or his personality doesn't do. I worked for a very popular coach at one time, a Hall of Famer, and his personality was not one to give pep talks. So he would look at me, and he would go out to talk to the officials, and then I would take over. And the door would close, and everybody get out of the locker room except me and the players. And I'd sort of tell them what it's all about. And it worked. We didn't win every game, but we turned around a program that wasn't very good, and we had a winning season in 1 year. So, you know, there's different ways of communicating and understand what you can do well and what you expect someone else to take care of for you. In the days of John McKay, I would have to say it was John McKay, but I think Marv Gue sort of handled a lot of the things that were necessary on and off the field. But he was so respected for that. And I think there's got to be some type of person like that on your staff that you allow to assume that role as far as in a certain situation. So I think it's very, very important that that happens. Now, I don't know what's happening. I'm never in the locker room. I don't know what the whole thing's about. But I think, and don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen, I like Clay Helton. I think he's a great person. But again, you got to have people surround you that aren't all the same like you.
Makes sense, Coach. All right, well, that's a good question from Tarek, and we wanted to kind of get a little deeper on what USC's identity is or was or is going to be. You can email us or text us or leave a voicemail if you have any different thoughts or want us to talk a little bit more about it some other way. Let us know. We do have a few questions, too. Super Steve Man from Seattle. That seems like an interesting name. He says, guys, did you see spring camp? Or did you see at spring camp, if the quarterbacks lined up under center, pistol, or shotgun, who was best under center? Fight the hell on. Steve in Seattle.
Well, yeah, I saw them line up a couple times. I don't know if they just did that to do that. But they did line up under center a couple times. And I think it was in the red zone, or it was down there in jumbo or something like that. But I didn't see it much. That's not their philosophy, to get under center. It's not 50-50. It'll never be 50-50. It'll be 99% to 1%. Because USC is not an under-center guy or team. That's not their philosophy. They don't play that way. They don't have the confidence in it that way. And that's the way it's going to be. They're not going to change that, okay? So I've talked about it for a long time as far as what you need to do in certain situations by being under-center. But you're closer to the line you want to reach when you're under center. They've got under center, and they call it real hurry, where they hurry out of the offense, or they hurry to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball for a quarterback sneak. But that's the most they plan on doing with that. I haven't seen them really develop a philosophy in the spring or any other time. And that's me. I'm not at every practice like you are, Ryan. But I haven't really seen that commitment.
No, I agree with you. I think that's fair. There's more of a mix of shotgun and pistol, which I don't even notice half the time. But you're like, oh, yeah, that's, you know. But much less. I think they probably ran more under center in the spring than they normally do or will do in the fall. So we'll keep you updated on that. We have a Bear Secutor. He said, I understand we lost Darnold and Wusu Hawkins on defense, but we got Porter Gustin back. And the rest of the defense, plus the defensive front, plus – we had Marlon Tuipulotu, Jay Tefele, Jonathan Lockett, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Talanoa Hufanga, Kawhi Manga, a world-class freshman group of DBs and linebackers. Nobody's expecting a team with an unproven quarterback and a head coach that still has to prove something to win the Natty. He means national championship. And the competition level of the Pac-12 may once again keep the Pac-12 champs out of the playoffs. But there is no excuse for losing more than two games this year or not winning the Pac-12. Name me one team not named Alabama who will have more depth, talent, experience on the entire defense and offensive line or coaching continuity. As for the offense, this defense is more than good enough if the offensive staff can just make the adjustments and get the personnel mix right. We should be expected to win the Pac-12. Anything less than this, absent huge injury issues, falls on the staff. Don't tell me you can't score enough points to win with this defense and weapons like Ware, Malpai, Vaughns, Pittman, Fallow, Amatorbebe, just because you don't have Sam Darnold. Any good coach should be able to figure out a way to score enough points and not turn the ball over to win with this defense and this level of talent on offense. Woo, that's a mouthful from Bearsecutor.
Well, let me put it to you this way. It sounds good what he's saying, but it's not easy to accomplish. Everybody's trying to do that. Everybody that has a top-level program is trying to accomplish exactly what you said. The names you mentioned certainly are great players, so it's not like the talent's not there. But you got to do one play at a time, and you got to win one game at a time, and you can't look to a national championship until, first of all, you win your first game, second game, third game. All you got to do is blow a game here and there, and then you're out of it. And, of course, at USC, expectations are high, and they should be high, but you have an elite college football program. So I think you're right on what you say as far as getting into the playoffs or getting into the national championship game. And I think also that winning the Pac-12 South is truly something that they should be favored to do this year. I really believe that. I think that the Pac-12 South will not be a strong division this year. I believe Utah will be the major competition. I think Utah is always a difficult team to win no matter where or play or whatever because of their physicality and maturity that they have. But I think both Arizona's programs are down. Arizona could beat you any time with Tate. And, of course, you know, UCLA, I think, is going to struggle. You know, a lot of people might say to me, oh, how can you say that? Chip Kelly's there. Well, I'm going to say that, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be what everybody is making them to be, okay? So we'll wait and see that and let it play out. I'm not wishing them bad luck or do I care. I want to see both of them be undefeated to the end of the year. But Pac-12 championship is something that USC should play for. But they ought to win the South first. In the Northern Division, you're going to have a lot of competition with Washington and Stanford. Oregon is certainly making a great run now in recruiting, and they're going to be a difficult team to play. USC doesn't have to play them or Washington, but they have to play Stanford at Stanford, and that's going to be a very difficult game. I don't care when you play it or where you play it at. So they've got a lot to accomplish before they get to talking about national championships, I'll tell you. And player-wise, talent-wise, I think they have great talent. I think they need to perform that talent. I think the number one thing is getting that talent to play at the level that they've been expected to play at. And if they are the type of people, like we talk about the quarterbacks, I talked about that earlier. I mean, the three quarterbacks they have, how can you complain? They're the quarterbacks they recruited to replace Sam Darnold. So it's not on the kids. It's on getting these kids to perform up to the level that you expected them to record, that you recruited them on to perform to win. So that's where I'm at that question. That question is everybody's trying to win, okay? It's just you got to be lucky and good, and a lot of things got to go your way.
Good stuff from Bearsecutor. Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of good points he brought up. I think Washington's going to be the favorite to win it all. I think when the rankings, preseason rankings, probably people have Washington high, Stanford kind of in the middle, and USC towards the bottom of the top 25. Should be the favorite to win the South. I think, like Coach, I agree, Utah would be the biggest competition. But I think Arizona could be, too. They've got a pretty young defense. I like Kevin Sumlin, and Khalil Tate's the X factor. So we'll see. It could be interesting, but USC should be the favorite in the South at least.
And they should beat Arizona. And when I say this, Ryan, really, they should beat Arizona. Who does Arizona beat on them as far as recruiting?
Yeah.
And Tate, they were blowing them out in the first half. It wasn't even a football game last year. And all of a sudden, the defense or whatever went to sleep, and Tate started running the football around, and they came back to make it a decent game. In fact, they could have lost that game with a two-point conversion at the end. But why does that stuff happen? That stuff doesn't have to happen. You got to cut the head off of your opponent. This is the way, sometimes I talk and you people don't like it because you think I'm too bloody. But you gotta be able to put somebody away when you can. You want them coming across the field and shaking your hand and saying, you know what? You guys are really good. Good luck when you represent the Pac-12.
All right, we got one last question from Don. He said, Kenichi Udeze got a nice compliment. So that's USC's defensive line coach who played at USC under Pete Carroll. He said he got a nice compliment from Pete Carroll when he said Rasheem Green appeared to be well-coached after watching his pass-rushing technique. So Green obviously got drafted in the third round by the Seattle Seahawks, so Pete Carroll was making a comment about that. Maybe.
Well, that's great. That's great he's saying that. Because,
yeah.
You know, what is he going to say? He hadn't been coached?
Well, he said maybe if it was Pete just complimenting one of his former players, but since Pete was specific about why he thought Rasheem was well-coached, makes me believe Pete was sincere in his praise. Hopefully, this new group of defensive linemen will accept the coaching and approve as well. As talented as they are, this could be a great defensive line. Can USC win with defense alone? Personally, I believe the offense will be fine by the third/fourth game. JT's that good. Question is, so he's talking about JT Daniels, can the offensive coordinator and offensive coaches coach talented players? Other than Rojo, Ronald Jones, I can't think of any offensive player who has shown drastic improvement. So that's from Don. So kind of a similar theme to some of the other stuff, too.
Well, first of all, he has coached Rasheem Green. Well, I wish he'd have stayed. I think he deserved or needed another year, but he's gone and he's up there. And I'm glad he's doing well, and I want to wish him the best of luck. I just wish he was still at USC, as everyone does. As far as the defensive line is concerned, I think there's a lot of question marks there. You know, everybody keeps talking about all the personnel they have and this and that, but, I want to see them play up to their ability. They're all 5-star players, 4-star players. If you're a 4-star and 5-star player, you dominate on the defensive line. I don't know if I've seen that domination of what we're talking about, and I want to see it. I want to see it in practice. I want to see it in the first game and the second game. I want to see them dare people to run at them. And I think that's what, when you play the defensive line, that's the attitude I always wanted my defensive line coach to feel like, please try to run the ball. Then we know where you're going to be when you pass the ball, and we're going to have you looking at the sky. And, you've got to have this type of defensive motivation, and I think that the defensive line coach has been an all-pro, and he knows what he's doing, and I hope he gets that attitude with them. But I haven't seen, and I'm not going to be negative, but I am, I guess. I want to see that defensive line live up to who they are. That means the hammer, not the nail. I want to see that type of competition in that defensive line where they do play up to their ability.
Yeah, I think USC fans do as well. And it's a talented, deep group. This defense is deeper than I can remember for quite a while. They're players, and I think they're players that Clancy Pendergast will trust. You have to be in that circle of trust. You're not going to play. So I'm very curious to see how it ends up working. But I do feel like there is a lot of dudes who can play that are going to be on this defense. How do they put it together? How do they perform as a unit? How are they rotated in and out? How is the defensive line going to be the hammer, not the nail? You lose a stud in Rasheem Green, but there's a lot of guys, that are here, and Marlon Peloto looked great before. We'll see, he's coming back after getting injured last year. So there's a lot of positive things going on for the defense for USC, coach. So I'm just curious how it all kind of works together.
I'd be more concerned about the corner play. Everybody keeps talking about the secondary being the best secondary around and the best they've had. They've got great talent. But I'm really concerned. I want to see the corners play the type of corner play you should be playing at USC. I want to see a corner go in the first round. I want to see a guy, I want to see somebody get drafted that's playing in the secondary. I tell you, especially on the corner situation where you can then go after people and you don't worry about what's happening on the back end. Oh my, pass interference. Oh my, big play. No, I'm more concerned about the corner play as far as playing up to the ability that you expect on defense.
All right, coach. Great stuff. talking about this team's identity. I love kind of topics like that. If you have any more ideas, everyone out there, send them in. Let us know. Tell us, you, me and Coach, you want us to talk about whatever, and we'd love to do it. So good stuff today, Coach. Thanks again for coming on.
And thank you guys out there for giving us the questions. We appreciate it. And as Ryan and I always say, hey, it's just our opinion, okay?
Right. It's just our opinion. You might think we're full of crap, but, you know, hey, this is what we do. But thanks again, Coach, and everyone else. Thank you for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. Make sure you go to sctickets.com. Check them out if you need tickets for anything. Thanks again to the coach. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, and we will talk to you next time.
Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287. 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by uscfootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.